02-2500, America Bankers Life Assurance Company against Darrell J. Evans.
May it please the Board, Farooq Jabwala for the appellants, American Bankers Insurance Company of Florida and American Bankers Life Assurance Company of Florida. We're here this morning, Your Honors, to determine the amount in controversy, how the amount in controversy is evaluated in a federal action filed to compel arbitration. The District Court's conclusion that it lacked jurisdiction was based solely on its view that the ratio of punitive damages to economic loss necessary to meet the amount in controversy in this case would be unacceptably high. The District Court erred for at least three reasons. First, the District Court applied the wrong standard by not following this Court's decisions in Barbers v. Bishop and Weecare v. Engen, and by applying a ratio analysis which is applied to jury verdicts instead of the highly deferential standard that courts apply to review arbitration awards. Second, the District Court erred by applying Delvecchio to this case. This Court's decision in Delvecchio is not the appropriate authority for this case. And third, the District Court erred because it failed to include in its analysis all of the elements of the claim that is available under the Illinois Consumer Fraud Act to Mr. Evans. The District Court erred because it applied the wrong standard and did not follow the controlling authority of this Court set forth in Barbers and in Weecare v. Engen. Barbers and Engen had state court plaintiffs who, like Mr. Evans, had attempted to avoid federal court jurisdiction by including self-limiting damages claims in the Illinois state court complaints. In Engen, what this Court explained was that unless it is legally certain that the stakes of the arbitration would be definitely less than $75,000 or less, the jurisdictional amount was satisfied. In both Barbers and Engen, this Court found that subject matter jurisdiction existed, disregarding the limitations on the amounts claimed in the complaints, and adding that arbitrators were not bound by such limitations and could definitely award larger awards. Arbitrators may award punitive damage awards with higher ratios than juries may do, and the arbitrators' awards would be reviewed only under a very highly deferential standard, which is not applicable to jury awards. That standard, the standard that is applicable to the review of arbitrators' awards, has been described as being the narrowest among the narrowest known to the law. Our briefs cite the Morgan and Mantle cases, both of which recognize that arbitrators' decisions were given a highly deferential review and were not reviewed by the same standards set by courts to review jury awards. In fact, in Morgan, the court upheld an arbitrator's award of a single dollar in compensatory damages and $250,000 in punitives. The Morgan court rejected the argument that the ratio of 250,000 to 1 was contrary to law, which is the very rationale upon which the district court here concluded it did not have jurisdiction. The Morgan court explained that the notion that the ratio of punitive to compensatory damages in an arbitration award is contrary to law is itself contrary to law. The Morgan court added that to engage in a punitive damage analysis set forth in BMW versus Gore, which was not an arbitration case, would disregard the highly deferential standard of review which is appropriate to arbitration cases. The district court in this instance did not look to the amount at stake in the underlying arbitration. It looked instead to what a jury might award, thereby disregarding this court's ruling in Engen that the stakes of the arbitration control. Indeed, the district court criticized American Bankers for making much of the fact that an arbitrator might award more than a court, concluding that it was not persuaded that arbitrators could award more. Since BMW, it has become clear that the standard of review of jury awards is basically a de novo standard, which is the least deferential standard. The standard applied to the review of arbitration awards is the highly deferential standard, the most deferential standard that is recognized in the law. And accordingly, what happens here is the district court applied the least deferential standard to determine that the amount of controversy was not met, when in fact he should have applied the most deferential standard, which is a standard applied to arbitration awards.
Is Mr. Evans a resident of Madison County?
It's in his complaint, ma'am, Your Honor, but I don't remember exactly.
I want, you know, I mean, Madison County, such a famous place.
Yes, we heard about that, Your Honor. Continuing, the application of the erroneous standard here really resulted in an error, because had the court applied the right standard, the highly deferential standard that is applied to arbitration awards, we think that the amount of controversy would have been present. The district court also erred by applying Del Vecchio. Del Vecchio is a case in which there was no arbitration, and therefore this court's application of a BMW type ratio analysis in Del Vecchio was appropriate to the analysis of the amount of controversy in that case. Because this case is an arbitration case, the standard of review that you would apply would be a very different standard. And therefore, Del Vecchio is distinguishable and inappropriate to this case. Del Vecchio is also distinguishable because in Del Vecchio, the amount in controversy was not based on factors that are present here. The amount in controversy was based on an aggregation. When this court, sua sponte, raised the question of jurisdiction and requested supplemental briefing, The plaintiff then came in with a new theory of damages, claiming that there were more than $75,000 for every class member in that class, resulting in a huge inflation of the damages in that case. To conclude very briefly, I will reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. The district court finally also erred because it did not include all of the elements of damages available under the Illinois Consumer Fraud Act. Particularly did not include an award for emotional distress damages and for attorney's fees. Had it done so, again, I think that the amount of controversy would have been satisfied. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Jabala. We'll hear now from Mr. Cohen.
May it please the court, counsel. Your Honors, the problem appears to be, as I'm reviewing the briefs and the record and the judge's order, that American Bankers appears to be under the impression that it bore no burden of proof whatsoever in the district court, that it bears no burden of proof whatsoever in this court, and that this court's review of the district court's decision is de novo, so that this court can simply reach a different result. I believe those basic fundamental premises are wrong. In the Anthony case, which is cited in the Del Vecchio decision, which is a 1995 decision of this court, the court, in a rare moment, identifies a distinction in the law that American Bankers repeatedly cites. American Bankers talks at length in its brief about the proposition that they're entitled to deference of their pleadings, a presumption that the amount of controversy is correct, and that the district court must affirm subject matter jurisdiction unless it appears to a legal certainty that subject matter jurisdiction is not met. In Anthony, this court explains that that is when the district court is making the determination on the face of the pleadings alone. In Anthony, the court goes on to very clearly state that when the opponent of subject matter jurisdiction comes forward with evidence on the merits challenging the assertion that the amount in controversy has been met, that presumption goes out the window. The test, legal certainty, no longer applies. And to the contrary, in Anthony, the court makes clear that what happens at that point is that it becomes incumbent upon the federal plaintiff, American Bankers in this instance, to come forward with competent proof, evidence, which proves a reasonable probability that the amount of controversy will be met. That's what happened in this case. American Bankers filed this action in diversity, alleged subject matter jurisdiction, and until the defendant Evans filed his response, a motion to dismiss for lack of subject matter jurisdiction with evidence attached showing this case is about $118. Until that point, American Bankers was entitled to the presumption that's replete within all of the case law in the nation on this issue. When, however, Evans came forward with that evidence, it became incumbent upon American Bankers to respond. American Bankers did not. American Bankers instead relied only on its pleadings. American Bankers relied on the fact that plaintiff in the state court, defendant in the federal action, has filed a claim for $118 commercial transaction fraud, not referencing anywhere in that pleading emotional harm, not seeking anywhere in that pleading damages for emotional harm, not alleging anywhere in that state court pleading, which defines his claim for the present, the state court Illinois law prerequisites for the award of punitive damages, conduct so unreasonable as to be beyond the bounds of decency, not found in the plaintiff's state court complaint, and nowhere in that complaint does it request punitive damages. It was faced with this factual record that the district court judge made the factual determination that the amount in controversy was not satisfied by the evidence in this case, evidence which it became the obligation of American Bankers to present when the defendant Evans had filed a factual evidentiary-based motion to dismiss. That then would bring us to this court standard of review, which American Bankers very strenuously argues is de novo. This court in the Anthony case, in Del Vecchio, and in Pratt, cited in the briefs, goes to great length to explain that subject matter jurisdiction is reviewed de novo except to the extent that there are factual determinations made by the district court judge, and that there will be great deference given and abuse of discretion or clearly erroneous standard at times will apply to those factual determinations. This is a factual determination. Evans came forward with evidence. It became incumbent upon American Bankers to come forward with evidence, and the district court judge made its determination. That determination was not only correct, but it is entitled to deference under an abuse of discretion standard or clearly erroneous standard in this court. It should be remembered that the amount placed in controversy by the state court plaintiff, the defendant in this case, is $188. That is less than 0.2% of the required amount in controversy for federal jurisdiction purposes. So when there is no pleading or allegation anywhere in the plaintiff's state court complaint of emotional distress, injury, or request for those damages, of the foundation for punitive damages or request for those damages, American Bankers has been able to creatively invent that apparition to subsume the alleged 99% of the required amount of controversy under federal jurisdiction. If this court were to uphold American Bankers' position, it would create a situation where every plaintiff who suffers a finger cut injury, which could conceivably cause some degree of emotional distress, and could prove that there was some degree of great foreseeability to the injury, would be well positioned to invoke federal jurisdiction under diversity. because there's the specter of some emotional distress, there's the specter of some possibility of punitive damages, it would really open the floodgates. And American Bankers does not seem to be terribly concerned about that. They seem to be very, very focused on their particular interests in this case. In the Pratt decision, Judge Easterbrook observed that lawyers have a remarkable ability to propose improbable contentions with poker faces. And I would submit to the court that in this case, American Bankers is proposing the extraordinarily unlikely. It doesn't pass muster. It doesn't pass the so-called smell test. It would open the floodgates of litigation. It doesn't respect the discretion and deference owed to the district court. And it ignores the fact that American Bankers did not in any way, shape, or form carry its own burden of proof before the district court. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen. Mr. Jablaba, you have 2 minutes. Could you respond, sir, to the suggestion of opposing counsel that you have some burden to carry here with respect to this matter?
Clearly, we have the burden because we initiated the case in federal court. But counsel is completely mistaken, because in the record, we submitted an affidavit by Professor George Priest. Professor George Priest evaluated the amount of controversy, evaluated Illinois state court cases that involved punitive damages, emotional distress damages, and Professor Priest's opinion was that the amount of controversy exceeded $75,000.
Would it be a fair reading of the district court's opinion that the district court didn't care to put much weight simply on Professor Priest's professional opinion?
I'm not sure we can go that far. What the district court said was that the cases in Professor Priest's affidavit had ratios of 20 to 1 or 40 to 1 or something of that kind. Mm-hmm. And the ratio here would be 600 or so to 1.
That's right.
And that would be unacceptable under the BMW standard. But that by doing that, the court applied the wrong standard. In addition, I think the counsel is also wrong in saying that his client put in evidence that there was only $118 at issue. His client never did that, and the record is very clear, and we made that clear in our briefs. What his client did put into the record was that the amount that he was challenging on his credit card statement was $118. But if you look at the allegations of his state court complaint, those allegations are allegations of a nationwide fraud, essentially to steal money from people by putting in charges on credit card statements that nobody had ever consented to. Those are the serious allegations of the complaint that have to be looked upon in terms of evaluating what types of emotional distress or punitive damages may be available. I point out one other thing. Counsel's response argument today did not address at all the standard that is applicable to arbitration cases. I see my time is up. We respectfully request that this court reverse the order and judgment below. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jablaba. Thank you, Mr. Cohen. And the case will be taken under advisement.